Chapter 2, Dharma Discourse. Having recited these verses in praise of the Buddha, the great being, Bodhisattva, fully composed, and the 80,000 great being Bodhisattvas then addressed the Buddha as one, saying, "World-honored one, we, the assembled 80,000 Bodhisattvas, now wish to put forth a question concerning the teachings of the Tathagata. We wonder if the world-honored one would be kind enough to hear us." The Buddha addressed the Bodhisattva fully composed, and the 80,000 Bodhisattvas saying, "Well done, you of good intent, well done. You've correctly read this moment. Ask freely whatever you wish. The Tathagata will be in the state of parinirvana before long, and all should be made to have no remaining doubts after that. I am ready to respond to any question you wish to ask." With that, the Bodhisattva fully composed, and the 80,000 Bodhisattvas then addressed the Buddha with one voice, saying, "World-honored one, what approaches to Dharma should great being Bodhisattvas practice if they wish to realize and quickly achieve the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment? What approaches to Dharma can enable great being Bodhisattvas to achieve the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment quickly?" In answer to the Bodhisattva fully composed and the 80,000 Bodhisattvas, the Buddha said, "Oh, you of good intent, there is one approach to Dharma that can let a Bodhisattva quickly realize the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment. If any Bodhisattva masters this approach to the Dharma, he or she will then be able to realize the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment quickly. World-honored one, what is this Dharma approach called? What is its essence? How does a Bodhisattva practice it?" The Buddha replied, "Oh, you of good intent, this particular Dharma approach is known as infinite meanings. A Bodhisattva who wishes to achieve mastery in the practice of infinite meanings must perceive and observe that, in and of themselves, all phenomena intrinsically have been, successively will be, and currently are, tranquil and empty in nature and aspect, without greatness or smallness, without origination or cessation, neither fixed nor moving, non-advancing and non-retreating. Like the emptiness of space, they are without duality. Living beings, however, thoughtlessly and falsely make polar assessments. It is this, it is that, it is gain, it is loss. Unwholesome thoughts arise in them, producing harmful karmic causes. They cycle and recycle in the six realms of existence, piling up harmful passions and sufferings, and for hundreds of millions of myriads of kalpas, they cannot break themselves free. Clearly perceiving this, the great being Bodhisattva must bring forth a mind of mercy and give rise to great compassion, particularly wishing to relieve living beings of suffering. He or she must then more completely fathom all phenomena, aspects of phenomena being as such will phenomena come forth, aspects of phenomena being as such will phenomena settle, aspects of phenomena being as such will phenomena change, aspects of phenomena being as such will phenomena become void. Aspects of phenomena being as such, an unwholesome phenomenon is able to come forth. Aspects of phenomena being as such, a wholesome phenomenon is able to come forth. So it is also with regard to settling, changing, and becoming void. After perceiving, observing, and fully understanding everything about these four modes from beginning to end, the Bodhisattva must next perceive and observe that all phenomena are impermanent, coming forth and becoming void over and over again from moment to moment, and further grasp that their coming forth, settling, changing, and becoming void are instantaneously occurring. Having perceived and comprehended this, the Bodhisattva will then have insight into the various conditioned desires of the senses of living beings. Seeing that conditioned desires are innumerable, the Bodhisattva expounds the teachings in infinite ways. Because there are infinite ways of exposition, there are infinite meanings as well. The infinite meanings stem from a single Dharma. That one Dharma, namely, is formlessness. Itself not a form, and having no forms, itself not an aspect, and having no aspects, this formlessness, as such, is called the reality of all things. When the great being Bodhisattva has become serenely composed in this true reality of all things, loving-kindness that is clearly real and unfeigned will arise. In any circumstance in which living beings may be found, he or she will be truly capable of taking their suffering away. After removing their suffering, the Bodhisattva again expounds the teachings for them, causing all living beings to know happiness and joy. "Oh, you of good intent! If a bodhisattva is able to practice this particular dharma approach of infinite meanings in this way, he or she will surely realize and quickly achieve the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment. Oh, you of good intent! This is the deeply profound, incomparable, all-varying, infinite meaning sutra. Its content and principles are true and correct, and its value is supreme and unsurpassed. It is embraced by the Buddhas of the past, present, and future together. It is impervious to the influence of disruptive forces and the influence of differing views, and is neither corrupted nor destroyed by any deluded perception or the cycle of births and deaths. Therefore, you have good intent. If a great being, Bodhisattva, wishes to achieve ultimate enlightenment quickly, he or she must achieve mastery in the practice of this deeply profound, supreme, all-varying, infinite meaning sutra. At that time, the Bodhisattva, fully composed, again addressed the Buddha, saying, "World-honored one, a Dharma discourse by the world-honored one is beyond thought and word. The fundamental nature of living beings is also beyond thought and word, and emancipation by a Dharma approach is likewise beyond thought and word. We have no doubts concerning the teachings the Buddha has expounded, but because the minds of living beings give rise to uncertainty, we put forth the question once more. World-honored one, for more than 40 years, ever since achieving enlightenment, the Tathagata, for the benefit of living beings, has continuously discoursed on the principle of the four modes of all phenomena, the meaning of suffering and the meaning of emptiness, on ever-changingness, non-existence of self, non-greatness, non-smallness, non-origination, and non-cessation, on the formlessness of all things, and on the natures and aspects of phenomena being intrinsically empty and tranquil, neither coming nor going, neither appearing nor disappearing. Those who hear you variously realize the stage of an ardent mind, the stage of attaining the highest, still unsettled condition, the stage of attaining irreversible good roots, the stage of ultimate worldly perception, or the fruit of entering the stream, the fruit of one remaining return, the fruit of non-returning, the fruit of arhatship, or the way of Pratyekabuddha, or the awakening of the aspiration for enlightenment, bodhicitta, and ascent to the first stage, the second stage, the third stage, or all the way to the 10th stage of development in bodhisattva practice. In what way does the essence of what you have just now expounded differ from that of all the doctrines you have expounded in the past, such that you say that a bodhisattva who practices the deeply profound, supreme, all-varying, infinite meaning sutra will surely realize and quickly achieve ultimate enlightenment? This is the matter in question. I earnestly wish that the world-honored one, out of compassion for all, would explain this in detail for the benefit of living beings far and wide, and to ensure that those who hear this teaching in the present and in the future are not left enmeshed in doubt. With that, the Buddha said to the Bodhisattva, fully composed, "Well done, you of great good intent, well done. You have skillfully questioned the Tathagata regarding this profound, unequaled, all-varying, transcendental essence. You should know that you will enable many to benefit, you will please and bring ease to human and heavenly beings, and you will relieve living beings of their suffering. This is great and real compassion. Trust wholly and completely that this is true. By this direct cause and its outgrowths, you will surely realize and quickly achieve ultimate enlightenment. You will also enable all living beings, now and in the future, to realize and achieve ultimate enlightenment."
Oh, you of good intent, by virtue of sitting upright and properly for 6 years at the place of the way beneath the Bodhi tree, I realized and achieved the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment. With the insight of a Buddha, I perceived that not everything should be explained. What is the reason for this? It is that the conditioned desires of all living beings are not the same. Since conditioned desires differ, ways of expounding the Dharma are many and various. For more than 40 years I have expounded the Dharma in all manner of ways through adeptness and skillful means. But the core truth has still not been revealed. That is why living beings differ regarding realization of the way, and do not realize and quickly achieve ultimate enlightenment.
Oh, you of good intent! The Dharma is like water that can wash away dirt and grime. Whether coming from a well or a pond, a stream or a river, a valley or a ditch or an ocean, the water contained in all of these can effectively wash all kinds of dirt and grime away. So it is also with the water of the Dharma. It can cleanse living beings of the dirt of all delusive worldly passions.
Oh, you of good intent, the character of the water is the same, even though streams, rivers, wells, ponds, valleys, ditches, and oceans are each different and distinct. So it is also with the character of the Dharma. It removes and washes away the dirt of delusive passions, equally and without discrimination. The three teachings, the four fruits, and the two ways, however, are not one and the same. Oh, you of good intent, although the water from all these places is cleansing, a well is not a pond. A pond is neither a stream nor a river, and valleys and ditches are not oceans. The Tathagata, hero of the world, in command of the Dharma, has expounded various teachings that are also like this. The initial period discourses, the middle period discourses, and the latter period discourses are all able to remove and wash away delusive worldly passions of living beings. But the initial period discourses are not the middle ones, and the middle period discourses are not the latter ones. The initial, middle, and latter period discourses express the same thing, yet they differ from each other in meaning. Oh, you of good intent, arising from beneath the Bodhi tree, I went to Deer Park in Varanasi. When I turned to the Dharma wheel of the Four Noble Truths for the five renunciants, including Ajñāta Kaundinya, I was also saying that all phenomena intrinsically are empty and tranquil, successively occurring but not remaining, coming forth and becoming void moment to moment. When I proclaimed, narrated, and lectured on the 12-linked chain of dependent origination, or the perfection of the six spiritual attitudes for the monks or for the assemblies of bodhisattvas, respectively, here and at other places during the middle period, I was also saying that all phenomena are intrinsically empty and tranquil, successively occurring but not remaining, coming forth and becoming void from moment to moment. Now, again at this place, discoursing on the all-varying infinite meaning sutra, I am also saying that all phenomena are intrinsically empty and tranquil, successively occurring but not remaining, coming forth and becoming void moment to moment. Oh, you of good intent, this is why the initial period discourses, the middle period discourses, and the current discourse express the same thing, even though they differ in meaning. Because meanings differ, living beings understand differently. Because their understandings differ, so does their grasp of the Dharma, their attainment of its fruits, and the realization of the way. Oh, you of good intent, I expounded the Four Noble Truths for the benefit of those seeking to become Shravakas during the initial period. Yet 800 million heavenly beings came down to hear the teaching and awakened the aspiration for enlightenment. I spoke about the sublimely profound 12-linked chain of dependent origination at various locations during the middle period for the benefit of people seeking to become Pratyeka Buddhas. Nevertheless, innumerable living beings awakened the aspiration for enlightenment or remained as Shravakas. I next described Kalpa's long bodhisattva practice by expounding 12 types of comprehensive sutras, the Great Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, Mahaprajnaparamita Sutra, and the similes of clouds and oceans in the Flower Garland Sutra, Avatamsaka Sutra. Even so, 100,000 monks, hundreds of millions of myriads of human and heavenly beings, and innumerable living beings attained the fruit of entering the stream, attained the fruit of one remaining return, attained the fruit of non-returning, attained the fruit of arhatship, or stayed within their understanding of the principle of dependent origination as Pratyeka Buddhas. Oh, you of good intent. Accordingly, it should be known that even though the discourse is the same, its meaning will vary. Because the meaning varies, living beings have various understandings. Because their understanding varies, so also does their grasp of the Dharma, their attainment of its fruits, and their realization of the way. And so, you of good intent, starting from when I established the way and first began to expound the Dharma, until this moment in which I am discoursing on the All-Varying Infinite Meaning Sutra, there has never been a time when I have not expounded suffering, emptiness, ever-changingness, non-existence of self, non-reality, non-unreality, non-greatness, non-smallness, intrinsic non-origination, continuing non-cessation, the formlessness of all things, that aspects and natures of phenomena neither come nor go, and that the four modes are the dynamic of living beings. Oh, you of good intent, what all this means is that the Buddhas have but one message. They are able to conform universally to all voices by means of a single sound. From a single body, they are able to manifest embodiments as countless and immeasurable as millions upon millions of myriads of Ganges, rivers, and sands. Then, in each embodiment, manifest various shapes as countless as millions upon millions of myriads of Ganges, rivers, and sands.
then in each shape, display appearances as countless as some millions upon millions of myriads of Ganges, rivers, and sands. Oh, you of good intent, this in fact is the profound and unimaginable realm of all of the Buddhas. It is neither knowable by those of the two vehicles, nor reachable by bodhisattvas in the 10th development stage. Only a Buddha, together with a Buddha, can fathom it completely. Oh, you of good intent, thus do I expound the transcendent, profound, incomparable, all-ferrying, infinite meanings sutra. Its content and principles are true and correct, and its value is supreme and unsurpassed. It is embraced by the Buddhas of the past, present, and future together. It is impervious to the influence of disruptive forces and the influence of differing views, and is neither corrupted nor destroyed by any deluded perception or the cycle of births and deaths. If great being bodhisattvas wish to achieve ultimate enlightenment quickly, they should achieve mastery in the practice of this deeply profound, unsurpassed, all-ferrying, infinite-meaning sutra. The Buddha having thus spoken, this universe of 1,000,000,000 Sumeru worlds trembled and shook in 6 ways, and several varieties of heavenly blossoms, blue, crimson, yellow, and white lotus flowers rained spontaneously from the sky. Also a rain of many and various kinds of heavenly incense and garments, garlands of celestial jewels, and priceless celestial treasures came spiraling down from the skies above as offerings to the Buddha, the Bodhisattvas, the Shravakas, and the great multitude. Celestial bowls and containers were filled to overflowing with hundreds of heavenly delicacies. Celestial flags, celestial banners and canopies, and marvelous celestial amusements were arranged everywhere, and heavenly music and songs were played and sung in praise of the Buddha. Also, Buddha worlds in the eastern direction, as numerous as the Ganges River sands, likewise trembled and shook in 6 ways. Heavenly flowers, heavenly incense and garments, garlands of celestial jewels, priceless celestial treasures, celestial bowls and containers with hundreds of heavenly delicacies, celestial flags, celestial banners and canopies, and marvelous celestial amusements also rained down. Heavenly music and songs were played and sung in praise of those Buddhas as well as those Bodhisattvas, Sravakas, and great assemblies. In the southern, western, and northern directions, in the 4 intermediate directions, and in the upper and lower regions, it was like this as well. Within the gathering, 32,000 great being bodhisattvas attained the specialized focus of mind of infinite meanings, and 34,000 great being bodhisattvas gained access to countless and innumerable dharma-grasping empowerments and became capable of turning all non-retrogressing dharma wheels of the Buddhas of the past, present, and future. The monks, nuns, laymen, and laywomen, the heavenly beings, nagas, yakshas, gandharvas, asuras, garudas, kimnaras, and maharagas, and the leaders of empires great and small, rulers of silver wheel, iron wheel, and lesser wheel domains, kings, princes, officials of state, and citizens who were noblemen, noble women, or people of great means, with hundreds of thousands of their numerous followers assembled together there, upon hearing the Buddha Tathagata expound this sutra, variously realized the stage of an ardent mind, the stage of attaining the highest still unsettled condition, the stage of attaining irreversible good roots, the stage of ultimate worldly perception, the fruit of entering the stream, the fruit of one remaining return, the fruit of non-returning, the fruit of arhatship, or the fruit of Pratyeka Buddha. Or they achieved the bodhisattva stage in which phenomena are grasped as being without origination or cessation. Or they obtained 1 dharma-grasping empowerment, or obtained 2 dharma-grasping empowerments, or obtained 3 dharma-grasping empowerments, or obtained 4 dharma-grasping empowerments, or 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 dharma-grasping empowerments, or obtained hundreds of millions of myriads of dharma-grasping empowerments, or obtained innumerable dharma-grasping empowerments, as countless and immeasurable as the Ganges River sands, all accordingly became capable of turning a non-retrogressing dharma wheel. Innumerable living beings awakened the aspiration for the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment.